This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, welcome back, baby. I'm happy to be back. I had a fantastic vacation. Thanks to Dan Buck and Ryan Recker and, of course, Ethan for holding down the fort here. But it's good to be back.
I'm not the same without you, brother.
I'm a little jet lagged, but thank you for that.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, but not the same. Missed you, man.
Dan, I appreciate that. It was a fantastic 10 days, I have to tell you. Went to Central Europe. I didn't talk about this a lot before we left because you don't like to broadcast that you're out of town.
You're going out of town.
But this was a long-planned vacation, and landed in Prague and went to Vienna after a few days, and then ended up in Budapest and saw all these little great towns in the Czech Republic and Slovakia and Hungary, and these little quaint river towns like Dürstein. It was fantastic. It was just a unplug from everything and kind of get away from it, and went with a great group of people through Guidester Travel, and it was a lot of them are listeners to this show, and we just had a great time.
Is it now? It wasn't an actual cruise, right? It wasn't a river cruise. It was just a driving tour where you stopped in each little town.
It was a land tour. Yeah. And Jack, our guide, just did a fantastic job. We had a couple local guides that helped us out. Saw some eye-opening things that I'll comment on here this morning in Europe. But here's the greatest thing about it: we arrived in Prague on that Wednesday night. I left here on a Tuesday. We got there on Wednesday. And we're in Prague, and the headline in Prague is that there was a Charlie Kirk memorial had been set up on a street corner. And that's what the local media was covering because, of course, there were some people there who were upset about it, but there were a lot more people there who were mourning Charlie Kirk. And this was several days because this was Wednesday or Thursday, and his memorial wasn't until Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was
that Sunday.
It was incredible how little press the international outcry and the international respect for Charlie was just not publicized. We didn't see hardly anything here. We knew there were some things going on because of social media, but the mainstream media just kind of chose to ignore the global respect that Charlie got around the country.
Yeah.
So you saw it firsthand.
I got to see it. I mean, I didn't actually get to talk to anybody about it, but at the end of the day, it was reassuring to me because here's the problem. If you've ever traveled to Europe, well, for that matter, if you've ever traveled to Mexico or Canada, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to go all the halfway around the globe. The only information you can find on their television sets is the BBC World News or CNN International, right? That's pretty much what you're limited to try to get American news. So everything they get is filtered through CNN.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't get Fox News over there. You couldn't get any media that wasn't well center left in the United States. Al Jazeera English is over there, right? Broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. So
when you hear about in Europe, Europeans don't like Donald Trump or whatever. they've been fed a crap sandwich with a smile. Let's put it that way.
Is that because the government kind of censors who's allowed, who's not allowed, who gets airtime or broadcast rights?
Well, why do in airports here, CNN used to be the only news you'd ever see up on the in airports all across America. So I don't know the reason. I know the last place we were was Budapest, where Viktor Orban is the president now, and he's pro-Trump. But even there, I mean, you still couldn't get media that I paid attention to. I mean, I tried. There were 40 channels. I tried flipping through all of them. Most of them I couldn't understand what they were saying, but there were a couple of English language channels, but they were not – it was not anything other than CNN-type reporting, period.
Wow. I mean, you'd think in Italy, you'd think in Poland, you'd think in all these countries where they have new leadership that is pro-Trump, that maybe they'll begin to broadcast a more even playing field, at least give people some alternative voices.
Well,
that's crazy.
I will say this. On last Sunday, I intentionally tuned into BBC just to see if they would cover the Charlie Kirk Memorial, because in my opinion, there was nothing bigger happened in the world that day than 100,000 plus people and more that couldn't get in the stadium gathering down there for that memorial. The president was there and all that. And I'm thinking there's no way they can ignore this. And to their credit, it was their lead story. But their sentence read like this: today in the U.S., thousands gathered to honor the controversial commentator Charlie Kirk. So he was controversial, and they limited the 100,000+ to thousands.
Yeah, and the 100 million streams.
Thank you.
100 million streams globally.
Oh yeah,
in all the different platforms. It was one of the most viewed events in the history of mankind. I mean, the numbers are just astounding. How many people streamed it live?
It was pretty amazing. Thank you to my friend Richie on Facebook this morning, who's the new guy. That's his comment. I appreciate it. You know, it is weird when you're gone for nine days. Like it was a half week and then a full week. Anyway, we're back and happy to be here. What did I miss, Dan?
Man, I'm just saying, there wasn't a ton of news. Obviously, the Charlie Kirk funeral or memorial was incredible.
Nice of the governor to wait till I got back sign the bill.
He waited for you. That's governor, exactly what Kehoe. We heard. It was a private event. I'm sure you were invited over there to the governor's mansion for that private ceremony where he signed into law the congressional map, which
the new map.
Took him a while. Why do you think he waited 3 weeks to sign it?
I don't know the answer to that question, and I'd love to get him on and ask that.
I didn't know if there was some political reason why he chose not to, and he still also did not sign, I don't believe, in that ceremony. He did not sign the other law that was
the IP reform?
The IP reform was not yet signed.
Yeah, I don't know why the delay. Maybe he was on vacation or something. Do you have any idea?
No.
He wasn't in Europe with me, I don't think.
No, I know he was active in a few other things. I heard him on a couple interviews. So, no, he was in town. Wasn't like he was on a three-week sabbatical or anything.
Yeah.
Boeing strike's still going, by the way.
Man.
That was one thing. They voted down they had reached an agreement between leadership of the union and the company, and then the body, the 3,200 members, voted it down. They're now in week 9 of that strike at Boeing.
Oh, thank you. Debbie says it was a great show while I was gone. I don't know what she's mean. What do you think she
Thanks,
means by
Debbie.
That? Thank you, Debbie. No. Appreciate Ryan Recker and Dan and everybody holding up their end of this. I assume Scott J. Gow for part of that. Was Scott in here, too?
Yeah, Scott came in. Did the news
a couple times.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So here's one thing I will say. Even though it was news here, I didn't see a lot. Of course, most of the local broadcasts are in Czech or Hungarian or whatever your country you happen to be in, Austria. But there wasn't a lot of hubbub about incursion into their airspace by Russia. Like, I was back here before I realized that I saw some story about drones somewhere. But then yesterday I see that apparently the Ukraine and Zelensky are into it with Orban, who's claiming that there's some political reason that they're claiming that some drones ended up in their airspace. I don't know. But they didn't treat it with nearly as much emphasis over there as we have over here in the media.
Well, I know Trump urged EU nations to shoot down any Russian aircraft, drones, or aircraft that are using their airspace to get into Ukraine. That would include Poland. That would include some of the other nations, and they have said that they are indeed going to begin shooting them down if they enter their space. And, you know, Poland's got some of our new F-35s. They've got some of our advanced weaponry and jets. They definitely could take down some of these if they choose. It just becomes a much larger conflict at that point.
Well, I don't want to encourage that, but I do think that Vladimir Putin does not understand anything other than strength.
Yeah. That's true.
And if he loses a few of his jets, his economy's going down the crapper. He cannot sustain a war on two fronts. Can't do it.
No.
And I don't think he's going to drop nukes, but I hope they play hardball with him. All right. Well, in welcoming me back, we have gone long past the time when I should have done the short list. So here, I'll just call an audible. Ethan, we'll do that when we come back. How about that? We'll take a quick break. And first, let's get to our national anthem. to go. And I couldn't agree more. All this happened while I was out of town, but long, long overdue for a little justice for the no one is above the law crowd.
This campaign was for the underserved, the marginalized, the abandoned, and betrayed by government. Since then, it has been my honor to be your mayor.
Eric Adams is out. Now, I think it's probably a little late in this race. He was in fourth place. Mamdani is leading. I don't know that him dropping out makes enough difference. Unless maybe Sliwa drops out too and some of those votes consolidate. But it looks like with or without Adams, New York's about to have a socialist as a mayor. That is on me. Hang on.
The idea that this is driven by politics, I think, is preposterous when you actually read the details of the indictment and the obvious fact that James Comey did lie under oath to Congress multiple times.
Yep, there's the vice president yesterday. I love Dan, the no one is above the law crowd. I've got a clip here somewhere if I dig into my files with the Democrats where it was on the Democrat talking point list that day, and it was handed out to all the media and, you know, MSNBC, and they'd lead every story with no one is above the law when Trump got indicted on some kind of, you know, chicken crap of charge in Georgia, or Letitia James in New York City, who created a new law that nobody had ever been charged with before and then charged Donald Trump with it.
It's all comes back full circle. I love the fact that they're now having to eat those words, because we talked about this last week. I don't think Comey is where it's going to end. I think
Schiff.
We've got 4, 5, 6 potential convictions coming.
Who didn't get a pardon?
Who did well? And remember, some of those pardons came about through auto pen. And if they're deemed to have not had the presidential knowledge when they were executed,
right,
they're saying a lot of those are going to be completely not eligible.
I pray for that day. That would take a Supreme Court decision, though, and that could be a couple of years away. And here's the thing about it. I mean, like, there's not a statute of limitations on murder and things like that, but a lot of these smaller crimes, there is a statute of limitations. This gets dragged out in court for 2, 3, 4 years. I hope it wouldn't take that long, for some sort of a final decision on whether or not those pardons are invalid. It may be past the statute of limitations. That's what I worry about.
Or watered down, right? So you think about some of the treasonous acts in regards to Obama and Clinton in 2016. Those actual acts that they did regarding the laptop, regarding the Russia collusion, all those things that they tried to do to basically attack the Trump administration and the transfer of power, the fact that those charges now could only be reduced to lying. Some of the Senate hearings in 2020, 2021, some of the times where we know they lied and perjured themselves in regards to those stories, that's the only place that they can get those folks. They can only get them on the perjury charges, but you're not going to be able to get them on the actual treason charges.
And maybe Fauci. Would Fauci's pardon, would it extend to perjury?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe,
but
I guess.
But
it
keep
would.
In mind, that's fresher. That, you know, those statute of limitations would still be well in effect, 6, 7 years on most of those charges. If he knowingly had evidence and information that vaccine was not working, I mean, that now you could get murder charges.
Well, let's
the people who died and you know, that there are literally thousands of deaths that have been attributed to the vaccine. If he knew those dangers and chose to continue to promote it and proceed with it, I just think that could be crimes against humanity.
Buy some popcorn, because I think, like J.D. Vance said, there's more of this coming, and it's laughable from the everybody, nobody is above the law crowd to now be wringing their hands, including one James Comey, who called for the book to be thrown at Donald Trump because he knew if it wasn't, that this was coming. So listen to this soundbite. The first part of it is James Comey back when Donald Trump first got indicted, and the second part of it is James Comey this past week.
Evict him, bar him from future service, have the prosecutors, the local prosecutors in New York, pursue him for the fraudster that he was before he ever became president, lock him up.
Fear is the tool of a tyrant. My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, and I'm innocent.
Goes from attack dog to I'm the poor victim. Now the victim. Yeah. Oh, what a
and
he's so many, a piece of work. So many I think people there's mental work. Illness at work there too. I do. I don't think he's all there.
Of what I did get on when I got Wi-Fi at the hotel on vacation, I did get on Twitter a few times, and the memes with the shells arranged on the beach for Comey just cracked me up. No one is above the law. Was spelled out in seashells.
Have you seen the one with Trump and the seashells that says FAFO?
Oh no, I haven't. Yeah. I missed that one. But yeah, and Scott Jennings once again just nailed this one yesterday or sometime over the weekend, talking about those complaining about the charges against Comey. Go to cut three, please.
For all of you who ever said no one is above the law or said that institutions of justice are sacred and cannot be questioned or described Donald Trump as a 34th convicted felon, you know what I say? Choke on it. Just choke on it. Honestly, if you cheered the political prosecutions of Donald Trump on cases that were clearly novel and made up just for him, just for politics, choke on it.
That's about as direct as you can get.
It's true. And, you know, we were lucky this morning. We've managed to land, or I should say Tricia did in my absence, Greg Jarrett from Fox News, one of their legal analysts who's written a number of books over the years on a lot of this. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the James Comey indictment and the possibility of other indictments that may be coming. And maybe he's got an opinion on the auto pen situation.
Yeah, that would be a great question. I'm going to write that down.
So, yeah. So yep. We'll get to Jarrett this morning at about 7:20. Be sure and stay tuned for that. We got to Ryan Schmelz in the 8 o'clock hour talking about the government shutdown, the possibility of it. And Tom Ackerman will be in here. We'll talk about Mizzou and their great running back. And, gosh, they get a week off, and then they face Alabama, baby.
And Bama looked good on Saturday. They looked really good, too. So,
yes, they did.
That's going to be a shootout in Columbia.
That's going to be their first real test,
I think. How do we get tickets to that?
I don't know. It's a good question. Let's ask Ackerman.
There we
go. He's a sports guy.
Hey.
All right. Back with Buck Don't Give a You Know What in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Buck Don't Give a F.
It is Minority Monday on the Buck segment because we always love to feature people of various backgrounds and not just the mainstream media who always wants to show African Americans as 100% all Democratic or Hispanics who hate Trump and all the illegal immigrants who are against MAGA. I picked today's Minority Monday champion because of her immigration status, because she is not only boldly MAGA, but this Jamaican legal immigrant who brought her children here the right way, went through the immigration process, but she is passionately for Donald Trump. Somebody wrote on her TikTok page the other day, and I'll give you her TikTok handle here in a minute, said, "How dare you support MAGA as an immigrant and a person of color? You do know he hates both." And she replied back with this comment and this about a minute long diatribe. She is so well spoken, so well educated. You're going to love this lady. Her name is Anna, and she goes by the handle Support for 47. That's her handle on TikTok. Check this soundbite out. Here we go.
What kind of a black woman are you to vote for MAGA? Well, first of all, fix your sentence structure. It's horrible. But since you asked so nicely, I will honor you with a response. I am the kind of black woman who is educated.
She shows her master's degree right there.
Several research on American history. I actually love American history. I'm also well-traveled, haven't been to 5 out of the 7 continents. I love the Lord, I love my family, and I love America. I am an immigrant, and I care about what this future holds for my children and my grandchildren who are yet to be born. What I do today will affect them tomorrow. So, what kind of black woman am I to vote for MAGA? The kind that wants to make America great again.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. She goes into many things about her immigration process and why it was hard and why she gained such an appreciation for the United States and fully assimilated her family.
Sure.
Because she so valued going through the history lessons and going through the journey of a 3.5 year legal immigration process. She said, I just gained such a profound respect for this country and what it takes to be an American. And that freedom of voice and freedom of speech is what sent her to TikTok. She does kind of talk slowly, so you got to stay with her. But man, I am telling you, if you want, she only has 23,000 followers right now. She's only been on about a year, but she's catching on. I see her now popping up on my Instagram. I see her popping up on my X feed. So people are sharing her across platforms. The only actual page I could find, though, was on TikTok, her actual homepage, and that is Support for 47. And she also, her handle is at 4547.
Love so, that.
Or MAGA. At love that. MAGA 4547.
You know, she reminds me of Evelyn, who came on the show with me and Kim back just before the election. Dan, I got in an Uber one day with my daughter to go down to an event, and my youngest daughter, and we were chatting up this driver who's speaking with a bit of an accent, and like, I can't really, I'm interested in knowing her story, and she starts talking in such a way that leads me to believe that she is a Trump supporter. So I just ask her, and I ended up having her on the show.
That's great.
Born in Africa, considers it the greatest gift of her life when she was granted a visa to the United States. Moved here because she wanted a better life for her, I think, twin sons. One of them is in medical school here. She came here, achieved the American dream 16, 17 years ago, owns a home in South County, and drives Uber to make extra money. And she was 100% in for Donald Trump. And she, like this lady, has a hard time comprehending why people born here don't realize that they were born with the golden ticket, and instead they, too many of them perceive themselves as victims.
Yeah.
Well, they do.
And you also have the whole legal immigration people hate, who really despise the illegals, people who jump the line,
people
who don't go
Absolutely.
Through the process, and mainly because they know the importance of that vetting process of making sure people who come here want to be here, love this nation, want to embrace what America stands for. That includes the Constitution. That includes all the rights. And this lady here, she's a staunch defender of free speech. And she says the other side's trying to take that from us. And we need to stand tall, because that's what makes us more unique than any nation on the planet, is that we have the right to speak up.
The American dream is still alive and real, and so many people of this country don't realize it. I noticed things when I was in Europe. Everybody was interested in where we were from, and they would ask us questions about America. Most of them in Central Europe there, many of them had not traveled here before. One lady had been only to L.A. 3 times because she had a relative that lived there, and I'm like, you haven't seen America. If you've only been to crazy California, you need to come to the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Freedom lives there, right? Most of these people have never experienced freedom. They think they're free, but they've never experienced freedom.
No.
In many cases in Central Europe, what I saw is people that are born knowing there's a limitation of what they're ever going to achieve. When I was in Budapest, The sales tax on everything that you buy is about 30%. Like,
what?
Oh, yeah. Plus, there's a VAT tax, a value-added tax on things that you buy. The cost of a flat in Budapest and in Vienna and these places is just out of reach for most people. Most of them are renters that live in those towns. And there's very little opportunity for upward mobility in what is very much a European socialist democratic society.
Yeah.
Some people beat that, but the vast majority don't.
Yeah.
And they seem to think that they're happy, but they don't know what freedom is. That most of them have never experienced the freedom that we have. From the day you're born in this country, you have almost unlimited opportunity. But my dad was a steelworker. My mom was a teacher. Did either of them ever think I would grow up to be on television, to have my own radio show, to live the American dream and make probably three times the amount of money either one of them ever made? No, but they hoped for that. You always hope your child is going to do better than you did. Yeah. And a lot of those people in the part of the country I just traveled to in Europe, I don't think they grow up with that thought in mind. It's just not part of their thinking.
Well, they live in a class society, right? Where whatever class you're born into is where your life will be. They don't really let social mobility happen.
It can happen, but it's not the norm.
Very difficult, yes.
It's not the norm.
Right.
I don't think. And you can improve your position. You can go to university for free, basically. About fell over. We were in one place we went to visit. It was a monastery, but they had a school there. And my wife inquires to how much the private school education cost the students who went to school at this monastery,
can't
right?
Imagine. What was it? Tell me.
$1,000 a year.
That's it?
A year. Because it's subsidized by the state.
Well, I guess public schools here cost you nothing except for, you know, whatever.
It's a private hard to get into exclusive school where they're taught Latin as part of the curriculum, and then they usually learn another language, and it really makes their college a lot easier if they've gone to something like that.
Is admission really hard to get into? Like, you have to be among the brightest and smartest?
She claimed not. The student that was leading us through it claimed that wasn't the case. But still, they think that everything doesn't cost very much because they give half of their money to the government, who then feeds back what it wants to them.
Wow.
It's insane. I could go on. In fact, maybe I will mention the other thing I observed when we come back here in just a couple of minutes, because it was it took every bone in my body to keep me from jumping up and confronting this woman, our guide, when she said this. Because she's grown up in it, and she doesn't see anything else in life. But I'll explain it. Great, great segment, Dan. We'll be back in just a minute.
And I will say this, too. Yeah. You're going to want to hear my freedom of expression story with my freedom shirt. And I got accosted in a schnook store.
The Charlie Cook shirt?
I have the Charlie Kirk shirt. I was wearing it in a schnook store and got absolutely eviscerated by a woman.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, it'll be good.
All right, when we come back, stay tuned.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Boy. We just got back from Central Europe. If you're just joining the show this morning, it's great to be back. Mark here along with Dan Buck and Ethan Bright and Sue Thomas. Good to be back in the chair after a few days off. And I've traveled through Central Europe basically on a tour bus, right, with about 18 of my closest friends. 10 of us had traveled with me last year to Italy, so they are good friends, and it was great to make new friends. We had a great time. But I made some observations while I was there, and I noticed this poster that I would see everywhere, and it would show the average salary of like a construction worker at 24 or 25,000 euros or whatever the local thing was. And then it would show like a nurse at 30,000 or whatever their currency was. And then it showed a doctor in a lab coat, 235,000. It was put up by the unions to talk about income inequality over there. And I'm like, so the guy that's working construction went to school for 12 years to get a medical degree. Did he?
No,
did I miss something?
I don't think
no,
he did.
But that's the thought process in Europe, in these European socialist democracies. They don't like large income gaps. They don't like the fact that somebody succeeded and got paid more. Now, in U.S. dollars, if that surgeon came over here, he'd be making $600,000 or $700,000 a year, but his income is limited because of where he chose to work. So we're on a tour. We're in Budapest. We've got a local guide named Melinda. And Melinda, we drive past this medical university. She goes, you know, this is our medical university. It's a great university. We turn out great doctors. But unfortunately, they move to Germany or they move to America and they don't stay here and it's hurting us. And I'm thinking to myself, I know you grew up. What I wanted to do was stand up and wave my hand and say, do you understand why? Mm-hmm. Because the cream of the crop always rises to the top. The cream always rises to the top. And if you want to pay that guy the same amount you're paying the laborer who's digging ditches, they're going to leave and go somewhere else and look for more money. And that's what most people that grew up in that environment just don't grasp. And it was pretty eye-opening to listen to. You're complaining about the fact that there are six-month waits for procedures in your clinics and your hospitals because you don't have enough doctors. They have the same problem in everywhere they're socialized medicine. Everywhere they've socialized medicine, that's the problem you have. The good doctors go somewhere else, and it takes you 6 months or a year to get your cancer surgery. Meanwhile, the cancer is growing in your body. It's a failed system everywhere it's ever been tried. So yeah. That's my soapbox.
Well, it reminds me of a story when I was working at a particular health system at one point. We were in this room full of all the presidents of the health system in the room, and the head of the organization says, why are we paying this doctor? I just saw that you signed this doctor up for $700,000 a year. And he's scolding this president. And the president said, the guy was actually a cardiothoracic surgeon in pediatrics. So he's working on infants and newborns and NICU babies, right? And she said, when was the last time you were in the chest of a baby the size of a doll and working on a heart the size of a walnut and separating the left ventricle from the right ventricle? When was the last time you did that, Bill? I mean, and I just gave away the guy's name. And he was like, well, that don't give me that. But the point is that here's a man making $2 million a year as an executive trying to say what a doctor, what a surgeon should make, and that we were overpaying. And this man was a miracle worker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a miracle worker, a talent that so few people in this world have. And they want to minimize his pay, saying he shouldn't make that much. What should he make? The amount of a floor nurse, the amount of a janitor. I mean, socialize anything doesn't work. You want to motivate expertise. You want to motivate people to be the best they can be so they can make a lot of money. But you're going to save thousands of babies
at the end of the day, it's what DEI is all about. It's about that's what it's about. People mad that whatever they did in life up to that point didn't get them to where they want to be. They see what somebody else is making and they think, I want equity with that, even if they didn't earn it or deserve it. So DEI stands for didn't earn it is what it stands for. And it's trying to be forced down the system in America where we've seen it fail everywhere it's been tried in the world. I'll say it again, and you may get tired of hearing me say it. The guy driving my airplane and the guy operating on my chest one of these days, if I have to have heart surgery, I want them to have graduated at the top of their class, and I want them to make more money than anybody else in the room because I want the best person doing that. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care. I want the best person doing that job. And if that means they get paid $800,000 a year, so be it. Exactly. They've earned every dime of it. I don't want the person that graduated last in their class and got in because the color of their skin or their gender operating on me. I don't.
No, and they have skills that very few human beings have. You have to reward people who develop those skills and make it where I don't care if they make $3 million a year, $5 million. Yeah. It's kind of like the athlete, right? These athletes dedicate their life to a particular skill and become the best in the world at it. I have no problem if the market bears it and people will pay for if people will pay for it to get the absolute best entertainment, whether it be a movie star, an athlete, a surgeon. If they're the best there is, people will pay for it.
Well said, Dan Buck. Well said. All right. So we kind of burned up that segment with my rant about socialized medicine in Europe. But Dan's got a fantastic story about a confrontation that happened to him the other day just because he chose to wear a T-shirt with the word freedom on it. Didn't say anything about Charlie Kirk or anything. It just said freedom. And he got attacked personally in a store. And I'm going to let him tell that story right after the top of the break. How about that? We'll get back here right after the top of the hour at 6. We got Hans von Spakovsky for you at about 6:20. We'll be back in just a minute.